Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Praise the Lord. Father, thank you. Lord, we worship you. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Have your way in our hearts tonight, Holy Spirit. Teach us the walk of the Spirit. Teach us how to stand in the season that we're in. Give us the revelation and the truth we need to hold fast to against the deception, against the perilous times we're in. Father, we thank you that you have an answer, and his name is Jesus Christ, that you gave us your Son, your precious Son. You sowed him as a seed into the earth to redeem us from the curse, from the bondage through the garden. And everything has been released. And we boldly proclaim, we believe. We believe. Jesus is the only way. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So, tonight is a special night. Because the Lord woke me up at 7 a.m. Anybody who knows me knows that is like
5 hours of sleep.
I got up wide awake and sat outside with him, and he gave me a message for tonight. And I actually had to prepare it with him because he gave me some stuff. And it started off last week on this. You know how sometimes the Lord will give you something and you write it down, and then you set it down or you stick it in your purse and you forget about it? Well, when God wants to speak and I forget about it, he wakes me up at 7 a.m. when he has my full attention. And so last week, I really kept hearing in the Spirit, and I released this Wednesday night a little bit. Turn to me. Turn to me. I kept hearing, turn to me. Turn to me. And then I heard, return to me. Return to me. And I'm hearing this call that the Lord is putting out to the body of Christ, to his children. And I was, you know, I'm not going to try and analyze what he's saying because it's pretty clear. Turn to me and return to me. And for me, when I would hear him say, turn to me, I immediately would stop what I was doing and I would turn into him and listen and fellowship with him because he was telling me some things and nourishing me. And what I didn't know is he was preparing me for a very weird week. And what I mean by that is there's a lot going on right now in the realm of his glory, in the natural realm called earth. And, you know, our words are so important. And he's been challenging me and highlighting me on what I'm speaking and what I'm thinking on. And last week, I had to, like, pull away from everybody and everything, all media, all anything that had to do with anything outside of God. And I wasn't sure what he was doing, but he always knows best. So I yielded. And in order to hear clear, sometimes you have to pull the curtains down. And so I pulled the curtains down on TV, on, I don't read newspapers, but on newspapers, on social media, on, you know, calling friends just to say, hey. And I really was like, Lord, what's going on? And he began to show me some issues in my heart. And I was responding without even being aware of, you know, we're conditioned. We get conditioned, you know, when we're little, we're told by our mom, don't touch the stove, you'll burn your hand, you know, stuff like that, small conditions. And, you know, we're in a season of where we have to be careful what we're being conditioned to. Now, some of you right now are going down a million miles to the conspiracy theory about what's going on in the natural realm. And I'm going to challenge you to pull back. Don't miss this. Because we're not going there. We're going to the Word of God. And so, last week, you ever see somebody have a temper tantrum? That's like maybe in their 50s or, you know, let's just go there, okay? So, you know, temper tantrums are never pleasant, no matter if you're 2 or 52. And I could feel on my inside like a temper tantrum wanting to manifest. And I was like, this is so weird. Because anybody who knows me knows I'm so laid back and most stuff doesn't bother me. And so I'm tucking away with the Lord because at the same time he's calling me, I'm feeling like, you know, but not at him, but just at what's going on, you know, and but I couldn't name it. And I didn't want to because I didn't want to manifest. I didn't want to like release it into the earth and then have to clean up myself afterwards. You know, when you have a temper tantrum, there's always cleanup. When you know, if you think of a 2-year-old that, you know, really flails, there's always snots and, you know, mess and, you know, maybe food particles, you know, maybe dirty diaper, you know, let's just go there. So that's a 2-year-old. And we always are like, well, they're 2 and we'll help them get cleaned up. But when you get to be 52 and you start to act like that, you know, it's a little less excusable. So, you know, we've learned to mask and hide our little temper tantrums, haven't we? Now, I'm going to just be very honest. I think everybody in this room has had a temper tantrum, since they were 2. I think it's something, you know, we're told to subdue our flesh, master it, you know, in the Word of God. And okay, how do you do that? Well, you listen to the Holy Spirit because he knows what's coming. And see, I felt this thing like, but I didn't understand what it was. And after it was over and I was pulled away, you know, and I didn't really manifest. It was just between me and God. And not that that's an excuse, but I started to say, you know, what is my problem? And he said, you're grieving and you're upset. And I'm like, yeah, I really am, you know, and not because I have a right to be, but just because that's what's going on right now. And so I went to him with my issues of my heart instead of going to Facebook, instead of going to my spouse, instead of going to my kids and getting their opinion, because opinion of man doesn't matter. This is a matter of the heart. And see, this is a season where everything that can be squeezed will be squeezed. So whatever in your heart is going to come out. And it's not like, oh, quick, put it back in so nobody sees. It's so you go, oh, I got to deal with this. How do I deal with this? And if you ask your friend, they'll be like, oh, it's okay. You're not that bad. Here, take a Kleenex, wipe your nose. It's fine. But if you go to the Lord and the Word of the Lord, he gives us clear instruction on how to deal with these things. Yay! And so that was last week, okay? And some of you might have gotten a text from me. Please pray for me, you know. And thank you if you did. You know, because at the same time this is going on with God, I'm also feeling the enemy trying to come against what God wants to do. And it's, you know, he's so stupid. The enemy is so stupid because he never wins. He always overplays his card. So even if you're not sure, oh, give it a minute. You'll find out it's him because he always spills over. He doesn't just drip a little and say, oh, that's enough. He's a tormentor. So he'll continue to go until you realize it's him. And then you go, get out in the name of Jesus, because we have authority by our mouth. See, Jesus said, occupy until I come. Subdue the earth. Rule and reign. And so that's our job. And so, but if we just are like, well, the enemy's beating me up today, boom, there goes another punch. Well, the enemy's hitting me again, boom, there's another punch. He'll punch us until we say, stop it. This far you can go, no further. In fact, you're not even going that far. Off the bloodline, off the line, off the property line, get out. And so we have to become aggressive against the enemy, not against people. And so there's a huge difference. And see, God is like excited because he's been trying to get us to catch on to some things. And sometimes it takes a little pressure in the earth to manifest and push into our hearts so we expose who we really are. And let me tell you something. In the eyes of God, we are beautiful. We are created in his image. And if you look at yourself and think, man, I blew it again today. Man, I blew it again today. I'm never going to get it. Well, that displeases the Lord because he has already released it. And if your heart can shift just a degree to, well, I blew it again, Lord, here I am. I don't know how to fix this, but I know you do. And see, when we position ourselves lower than the throne of God, but yet open our hearts and our eyes and help me, he helps us in a time of need. He always does because he's a good father. Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
So when I, what did you say something? Oh, a couple days ago, did you say amen?
Probably.
I heard it. If it wasn't you, it was the angel behind you. Amen. So here's a couple things that the Lord was telling me. And this has been brewing. So, you know, most of you guys know I don't normally teach or preach from notes. But when he gives me them, then I do. And I've learned to yield to what he's doing. And so, you know, your words yesterday create your today. And your words today can create your tomorrow. What? And he started talking to me about God's systems. God's word is a system in the Bible. His word is a system that we use in the Bible. Proverbs. Now, anybody who knows me has heard me say this probably 1,000 times. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So, God is really challenging me to pay attention to my words. And he's actually like challenging me to recognize and deal with some of my words. And last week, I might have mentioned this on Saturday, but I feel like I'm supposed to say it again. You know, the Lord used the word phraseology to me the other day. And I'm like, phraseology, isn't that out of the Sound of Music or something? You know? and what's going on is, you know, there's certain words that make me laugh, and not because they're funny, but because they're bizarre. And one of them, and now please don't go down the path of where you're thinking about going. Some of you are going to put the brakes on, practice social distancing. That word cracks me up. And I never knew why. And last Saturday he told me, and I'm like, Lord, what's so funny about that word? I think it's just a funny word to me. And it's because they're two opposites. It's an oxymoron. They don't go together, you know? And so I would just laugh. And at first I thought, well, I'm just a little slow and I must be missing it. But the Lord revealed to me phraseology. Pay attention to what you let in. And I'm like, okay. And so when he pulled me away, I didn't let anything in except for him. And so I was, and that's when I got refreshed and like a reset. I don't like to use that word flippantly, but it was like I got grounded again. And to the point where, you know, you can become obsessed. Not that I was, because most of you know I don't like Facebook. But you can become obsessed with the latest whatever on Facebook. What's the news? What's going on? You know, whose opinion is what? Or, you know, the news channel, or your family, you know. And phraseology it seems like it's the season we're in right now. We're being thrown words that we've never heard before. And when I woke up this morning, the Lord was talking to me out of, whoa, 2 Timothy. And, I love Timothy. I love that Paul wrote this. You know, in his final season of life on earth, he was so full of compassion and care for the body of Christ up until the point that he left his earth suit, and he was wanting Timothy to get it and not be moved by what's going on in the earth. And you know, I believe that when Jesus released the Holy Spirit when they were in the upper room, I believe that was the beginning of the end times, you know, the beginning of the season of the end times. And I believe we are in the end times. And so I'm going to read a little bit from Timothy. And now I don't want to scare you, but I want to encourage you. And I've spent a lot of time in Timothy because it's so directional and correctional on how to steward and conduct ourselves as ministers of the gospel. And I don't mean that I'm a minister and you're not. We're all ministers of the gospel. Okay? We're all agents for Jesus. We're all carriers of his glory. And even though we're at different levels or different measurements, it doesn't matter. We're all created in his image. And he loves us equally. Does he have favorites? Yes. Are you one of them? I hope so. So I just want to read, we're going to talk about words, but I want to get here first. Retain the standard of, okay, I'm in 2 Timothy 1:13. Retain the standard of sound words, which you have heard from me, in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. And I felt like the Lord was really highlighting this little passage to me. And then it goes on to talk about the times and be strong. And here we go to chapter 3. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revelers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malice gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of God, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now, I believe that's been in the earth for a long time. I don't think that just came last week or this year. But here's a warning, and I feel like this is for us as the body of Christ. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these, for among them are those who enter into the households and captivate the weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. So when I read that, I think of, that scripture, there are hidden reefs in your love fest. You know, they come in as though, you know, they know the Christian language and they know the Christian handshake, if there is one. They know the way, but they are really powerless in the Spirit of God. And, you know, we all know there's a watered-down gospel message that has been served for many, many years. And, you know, so he's talking about this a long time ago. But what I want to read about this is, you know, to people of the Spirit, you know, he goes on and talks about those people, and he's like, we recognize them. We see who they are. And if you're not one of them, you see who they are. And because you see by the Spirit of God, you see through the heart of God, the eyes of God, the compassion and the love. Paul's saying, now you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, and perseverance, persecutions and sufferings such as happened to me. And then he keeps on going on. But I want to read about, he talks about persecution, and, you know, I'll just give you a little rabbit trail here. This isn't in the Word of God, but, I believe that every Christian will be persecuted. I don't know the level of persecution for each person, but if you can look back at your life as you walked with God and turned your back on the world, and you experienced persecution, you, in that period of persecution, you grew closer to him because you had to learn to trust and rely on his word for every move as the enemy was trying to pounce on you. And I believe that the same is true today. You know, I went through some persecution, nothing like the great saints, but I've had persecution. I know what persecution tastes like. And really, at that moment, it's a test of our heart. To see what's in our heart. And if we lash out and say, you dirty, rotten scoundrel, how dare you? Or Lord, bless those, for they do not understand. You know, Lord, how can I pray for them? What shall I say? You know, we bless those that persecute us. Now, if you're still hitting those that persecute you, that's a measuring stick of where you're at in God. And I'm not pointing you out to make you feel bad, but I'm calling you out to make you turn to God and say, oh, I didn't know there was a better way. I didn't know I was supposed to bless those that persecute us. Now, I can hear somebody in here saying, well, so I turn the other cheek? Now, listen, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the condition of your heart. And there's bitterness in the heart. When you're talking like that, there's bitterness in there. And God wants to set you free. I think that's pretty cool. So right now, here it goes. I can remove every root of bitterness right now out of your heart by the power and the Spirit of the living God. Come out in the name of Jesus. Okay, here we go some more. So, you know, Paul was talking about John 5:24. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Now, I want to talk to you about not being judged and being judged. You know, we know Jesus is going to come back. He's going to judge and he's going to separate. We know all that. But here's something I want you to know. Some people have a fear of death. Now, fear is from the enemy. Doesn't matter what kind of fear, fear is from the enemy. Unless a dog is running at you right now, that would be a natural human fear. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, I'm afraid of the whatever. You know, what about this? If you have fear, I have an antidote. And so I'm going to read a little bit more, and then we're going to dig in a little bit. So Romans 8:2, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So the way to get free is to know Jesus. Now, I know everybody in here has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And you know, you believe that Jesus was crucified and raised from the dead. I know that you all believe that. And for those of you who are listening on audio, I just pray right now that if you don't know Jesus, all you have to do is say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me. I've been a sinner. I want to serve you all the days of my life. Teach me the walk of the Spirit. Teach me how to do that. And if you said that prayer, Holy Spirit will help you. He's the helper. He's the comforter. He's the Spirit of truth. And he will lead you and guide you in all truth. So I used to struggle with a spirit of fear. So when I know what that spirit's like. You know, I was afraid of death. I was afraid because I didn't know Jesus. But once I met him and knew him, fear left. What is the worst thing that can happen to me? That's not the worst. That's the best. The worst is to linger in agony. I'll never have linger and I'll never have agony because I know him and I know his promises. And see, there's people that are struggling in this earth because they don't know the good news. They've been, you know, when I got saved, remember, some of you remember my story. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. I thought it was like a little Monopoly card. You put it in your pocket. It's your get out of hell card. That's what I thought it was. I didn't know the gospel message. I don't know if it was preached or if I just was too dull-witted to understand. I'm not sure. But when I met Jesus and found out that he's alive this side of earth, all fear left me. Not all, but a lot of it, like the big stuff left. And then I had to work out. You know, I love that scripture, perfect love cast off fear. I had to meditate into that because I was fearful. I was shy. I was backwards. And God was pushing me and saying, you know, go tell that person I love them. No. You know, he'd say, go tell that person that blah, blah, blah. I'd be like, no. You know, I was afraid. And see, God was trying to expose my heart so that he could heal it. And if I justify, well, no, I'm not doing it. Oh, I didn't hear from God. Then when we justify and explain away, we'll stay where we're at. And that's it. And then we will deal and contend instead of thrive and live in the glory. And I don't know about you, but I want everything that Jesus died for me to have. Not because I'm greedy, but because of the love I have for him. That'd be like if I invited you over for a meal at my house and I spent days and weeks preparing this beautiful feast and I knew that it was your favorite. And then you came over and you said, I'm not going to eat. No, I don't think you really want me to eat. That's offensive to the chef. You know, I just am being reminded of something that the Lord shared with me many years ago about the body of Christ. You know, I used to help. I still help. But I used to, like, get there early, you know, set the chairs up, help with the CD table, you know, be the last one to leave. I used to think of myself as You know that scripture that talks about the guy that stayed and he was the doorkeeper and he just closed the door at the end of the glory? And I was like, that's me. I wanted to stay the longest because I loved his presence so much and I didn't know how to house it yet. You know, I knew how to go to a good Holy Ghost meeting and be in his presence, but I didn't know how to steward the presence. And I would go and I'd sit and I'd learn and I'd write notes and get revelation, but I'd be the last one to leave. And I started serving because it says, you know, serve. And I'm not serving a ministry. I'm serving the King of Kings. You know, I'll never forget the time he said, you know, we were praying at this office and I noticed that the bathroom really wasn't getting cleaned. And I remember the day the Lord said to me, would you clean the bathroom? And I'm like, yeah. And so I went back and I cleaned the bathroom and I had one of those major Jesus encounters in that bathroom, cleaning that toilet. I think I ended up on the floor. And it was huge. The blessings in serving him are so great. They're so limitless. And, you know, you reap what you sow. When you sow into the King of Kings, you can't help but get his favor. You know what I'm saying? And so, and I know many of you are servers in here and love Jesus. But here's the thing. Some of you aren't. And you're missing the blessings. And so I remember one day I'm at the service and we're setting up and I'm sitting there and I started to see this beautiful meal being prepared. Jesus was preparing a meal. And I saw Holly up at the keyboard and people were coming in and she's on the keyboard and she's releasing prophetic words. And they were meals for people that hadn't shown up. And then I see Jesus putting them on the burner, like keeping them in warm in the oven. And I'm like, what am I seeing, Lord? And afterwards, he said, you know, some people are so busy, they won't come and eat. They won't come and dine, or they'll come late and just take a little nibble. Or I'll want to feed them vegetables, but they want the pie. You know, and so he's telling me all this. And I was like, wow. And sure enough, when he tells me something, I launch. And I'm like, sure enough, you know. And so I made a decision, Lord, I don't ever want to be like that. I want to help clean up the crumbs. I want to make sure that person's seated perfectly in the position they're supposed to be in. And so I started praying for the body, praying for the people, praying for them to receive the words that were being, you know, served to them. And, you know, God is challenging us, you know, where we're at now. There's so much more. And maybe you never heard something like this before. Maybe you thought you were supposed to come and just get what you got and then go. Did you know if you prepare your heart, when we do our immersions, we tell people, pray ahead. Place a draw in the spirit. Pray, believe, come believe, and come thinking something instead of come running in, you know, with your cell phone because you're still on work mode and trying to get, you know, that last thing, that last text sent out. When you come like that, it's hard for God to feed you because you're still positioned in your chair of authority over your natural realm. See, when you come into God's presence, we have to remember we know nothing. He knows it all. We're his children. And we come in and say, Papa, here I am. Papa, I love you. You know, I remember when I didn't know how to love Jesus, but I wanted to. He had to teach me. You know, love, people think, oh, love comes instinctively. Well, I beg to differ with it. It didn't with me. You know, we didn't grow up in the lovey-huggy family. And so, you know, when I fell in love with him, I'm like, Lord, you have to teach me how to love you. You know, because he'd be loving on me, and I'd be like, okay, it's a little weird, you know. And so he had to break through my barriers of defense. But here's the thing. I asked him to. When you ask him, he will. Amen. When you ask him, he will. So let's go back to your words yesterday create your today. Are you struggling? If you ask him, he will. The enemy loves to get us distracted with the busyness of the day. And I battle with this. You know, there's a million things in ministry. There's so, you know, we're in the middle of a conversion. There's so many needs, new systems that we need to learn. And I can't keep up with it all. So here's what I do. I push it away and I say, Jesus, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to spend time with you first. We'll get to that stuff because you're going to give me the anointing to do it. Same thing with yard work or any other task. I don't do it if I don't have the anointing. And God, his anointing is powerful. You know, recently, my daughter just closed on her first house, her condo, And they moved her closing up. And originally I had set aside, you know, to help her paint and get some stuff done. But then they changed it. So I only had a night and a day. I prayed and asked the Lord to give me that anointing to paint. Anybody who saw me would have been shocked. We painted till 4:30 in the morning. We weren't tired. Well, maybe about 4 we got tired. And we got up at like 8:30 in the morning. And the whole day. And it was like, I never painted so fast in my life, but not sloppy.
It was unbelievable. I was like, oh my goodness.
I was thinking the same thing. I was thanking Jesus. I'm like, this is amazing. See, when you're in the anointing, you can do all things. And, you know, I wear glasses to see things up close. And I thought, I wonder if I'm going to have to wear glasses when I'm cutting in the trim. No. And it's beautiful. I went over there the other day and I looked and I just smirked. I'm like, God is so good. You know, he's so good. See, when there's an anointing, and here's the thing. I spent time with him first. You know, where you sow is where you go. If you sow into him, you will receive everything you need, the package to do, the task at hand. And so I feel like God's challenging us a little bit tonight. And so Mark 4:15, you know, okay, here we go. So God's saying, Paul is saying, you know, hold fast to the teachings, you know, back in 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching because the enemy's trying to change it all. Okay? And if you don't know the phraseology of the Word of God, you're going to take the counterfeit phraseology. And God's Word is true today and always. It cannot fail and it cannot lie. And you have to come to terms with that in your heart. And that's a trust issue. There's trust there. You have to trust His Word. And so, hello. The phrase hold fast was translated, I got this off the a study I was doing, from the Greek word echo. It's to guard, to protect, to keep watch over, to keep guard. We have to watch over what we've learned. If it's of the Word of God. If it's not, let it go, let it burn. You know, some of us were raised in the 60s and, you know, protest, riot, you know, stand for the man and whatever else they said. Power to the flower and all that stuff. I don't know if that's, this is just coming. I'm not from the 60s, so, you know. What is it? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a phraseology. It's a phraseology. And here's the thing. You know, if you ever watch an old movie, like maybe you watch an old war movie, you can see it now. The propaganda in it because you're not in that season anymore. Friends, there's lots of propaganda going on. Phraseology. So here's the thing. You may have some of that in you and it's swaying you. You know, there's an anchor. There's a compass. Jesus Christ. And if you're reacting, you probably got a little phraseology that needs to be erased. You know, you can reformat by the Holy Spirit. You can reprogram your mind with God's Word, and pretty soon you're like, what was that? Flower to the what? Flower to the 10th power of what? You know, amen. So, you know, if you're struggling, God has the answer. And if you're coming in with what you know from your past, it's tainted. I'm just going to say it. God's Word is fresh, and it's new, and it's the answer for where you're at right now. You watch something, like, you ever watch an old movie, and, I like old movies. You ever watch an old movie, and then, you know, you see it, and you remember it one way, but then 5 years later, you go back and watch it, and you pick up something completely different. And it's like, wow, how did I miss that? Phraseology. Okay, so, here we go. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Those are seeds. That's currency. That's how things get done in the kingdom. Remember, let there be and there was. You know, that's how it works. So whether you're let there be or stupid thing, either one of them determines your day. Because you give license to either the angels or the demons to bring forth your package that you released by faith. Whether it's faith of of doubt or anger or suspicion or whatever, or faith of God's got this, I'm his kid, and I don't know how, but I know he's going to make it right because his word says so. So Romans 8, 9, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, but if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Every one of you has the spirit of Christ. Now, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, and I don't never say this word right, timidity. Did I say it? But of power, love, and self-discipline. Power, love, self-discipline. Power, love, self-discipline. Who gave you that? God did. He gave you power, love, and self-discipline. Because that's the spirit in you. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ dwells inside of you. So, the opposite of power is fear. Do you understand that? If you're in fear, you're rendered powerless. You're taken out by the enemy. You're held captive. Fear saps our strength and causes us to, you know, be immobilized. It causes us to react emotionally instead of intellectually. Like, we may know the word, but if we're in fear, we might just, and forget the word and respond by our emotions. That's why we're to subdue our flesh, subdue our emotions. Not saying don't have emotions, but don't let them rule you. You rule them. When I was going through this thing, I had to keep saying emotions, knock it off. This thing last week, no opinion, no say-so. God's talking, and I don't know what he's saying yet, but you don't get to have a voice in this. And then God started to challenge me on my thinking of the season that we're in, and I had a little temper tantrum because I wanted it to end right now, and why didn't it? You know, stupid stuff like that doesn't make any sense. See, emotional temper tantrums never make sense. When you come out of it, you know, and look back at it like a day, a week, a month, you're like, that was me. You know, forgive me. So, the virtue of love is given to every believer in Christ. See, what conquers the lost, what conquers the enemy, what conquers everything is love. Love conquers all. Perfect love casts off fear. Who's Jesus is perfect love. He casts off fear. If you're struggling, tell him you're struggling so you can deal with it. If you pretend you're not, it's kind of like you're behind a little curtain and you know, you're like, everything's fine, but you're really not. And you'll stay that way. See, God wants to help us. He gave us the Holy Spirit to as an agent of change, an agent to bring forth change in ourselves and in the world by how we speak and what we declare and what we proclaim. I'm coming around the bend. I see we're coming to home plate. Can you feel it or no? The Amplified Bible translates this verse as, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice or craven or cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. Now, I know God has really been showing me the power of words. You know, I'm going to proclaim healing. I'm going to proclaim, you know, my finances. You know, I've even proclaimed everything, anything and everything. Lord, I thank you for the healing. I thank you for bringing a buyer for my car. You know, I've changed the way I'm doing things. I've decided that I'm no longer frustrated or being frustrated. Now you'll be like, what do you mean? I'm selling a couple things on Facebook. And if you've ever sold anything on Facebook, you know how they do that thing, you know, I'm coming and they don't come, or, you know, you put something for $50 and they say, I'll give you 10, you know, that kind of stuff. You ever deal with that? Or I'm on my way and then they never respond, you know, weird stuff. If you've ever dealt with selling anything on Facebook, you could get an attitude because you're responding to their responses. And so I thought, you know what? I'm not doing that. We're not doing this. I'm blessed. This stuff is blessed. And the people that are buying it are blessed. Lord, I thank you that we're not doing that. I thank you that you are bringing whoever needs this stuff at a good price, a fair price for all. And I'm going to continue to. Here's the cool thing. I love to sow. When I sell something, I sow into the kingdom of God. You know, everything belongs to him anyway. And so I'm like, I'm going to make $50, Lord, and I can't wait to give 20 of it to so-and-so or, you know, whatever. And you don't have to do this, but really, here's the way I like to do things. When I do anything with cash, I sow in cash. I think, who could use that? I say, Lord, you know, go, oh, give it to so-and-so. And then you hear the story, oh, man, I really needed that. My electric bill was due and I was, you know, $20 short. He's always perfect. And so I use it as exercising to increase hearing from him and obedience. Or will you take it and just stick it away and nobody knows? You know, his choice is yours. He sees. He knows all things. And so how we got on this is because I decided that I'm not going to put up with the nonsense, there is no nonsense. Isn't that pretty simple? So I'm doing these experiments and seeing the result. And this is in the natural. I like spiritual stuff too. And so I've made some decisions. I'm not doing certain things. And they're not coming to my door. Certain things are not allowed at my door. Meaning my heart, my mind, my property, any of that. And so you got to go away. And it's better to have these conversations before you need to have them. And I feel like we need to be in a season of, not what if, but Lord, you know, the other day I was sitting with them and I said, you know, everything I have is yours. I have nothing here on this earth. My kids belong to you. Everything belongs to you. I'm going to choose, no matter what happens, to continue to serve you all the days of my life. And when I said that, and I've said that over and over and over throughout the years, it's as though any type of pressure that was trying to come on me through phaseology couldn't stick. It's like I went through the car wash, gone. See, sometimes we argue not even knowing with our minds, you know, like the enemy's a little dart here, a little dart here, and pretty soon you're thinking on this stuff. What you think of, it comes in you. That's why it's important to watch what you're watching. And pull away from all the phraseology and all the agendas and conspiracies and responding to them. Respond to the Father. Attend to him and watch what happens to the stuff around you. Because when you cast your gaze on him, you're sowing and he'll reap. And he'll always outgive you because that's who he is. Does that make sense to you?
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.